Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Assalamu ala man ittaba al-huda. Warm welcome to Radio Islam this morning, the 10th of August 2015, corresponding with the 24th of Shawwal 1436. I'm Abdullah. Welcome to our panel discussion titled Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary. If you're just waking up, alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. I know it's a public holiday, so lots of people are taking it very, very easy. Just a reminder what we're actually commemorating this public holiday, when women marched against pass laws. Now, pass laws, for those of you who don't know, was something that became one of the most despised symbols of apartheid, where non-white people had to actually carry a document, an internal passport, when they moved in areas within South Africa. And on that little internal passport, they used to call it a dom pass or a dam pass. It had details of the bearer, like their fingerprints, the photograph, the name of the employer, the address, how long the bearer has been employed. And the employer under law could only be a white person. So it was not only against black males, it was against colored people, Indian people, Chinese people, Arab people. And in 1956, I believe, if I got the date right, a woman marched to the Union Buildings in Pretoria to march against these past laws and further implementation of them. And of course, it wasn't something that the woman just decided to wake up and do one day. They just didn't decide that this we've had enough. It's something that had built up over time and over time and over time. And it wasn't something that was such an explosion as such, rather than something that had condensed and gathered together over time. So when we're talking today about extraordinary women, the thinking process or the thought process is that ordinary. This leads to you becoming extraordinary. Katra katra dariya shawad, as they say in Farsi, or as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the best of deeds, khairul amali ma qalla wa dalla, things that are consistent lead towards greatness. Subhanallah. So that is what we're talking about today. Our panelists, alhamdulillah, for the first hour, Aba Asya Bukhariya, Aba Sara Kaur and Ummu Salman, Abba Zainab. And in our second hour, we have Ummu Ayman and Abba Fahima Bam. We welcome to them to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Abba Asya is in our Johannesburg studios. Abba Sara is in Cape Town and Ummu Salman is in Johannesburg as well. And I thank you so much for taking out the time to join us on Radio Islam this morning.
Brilliant.
Abba Asya, let's start with you. You've been teaching for 15 to 16 years now, whether it is in a Darul Uloom environment, it's a high school girls, high school environment. And we're going to start with the question as to the positives that you have witnessed over the years with the young women that you've taught. Things that you've seen them bloom into and how they become assets to their communities.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Abba Farzana, it's been a phenomenal experience throughout my 16 years in Madrasa Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The things, the growth and the development of our females and the youth is really, really rewarding. You know, when they come in, they are barely 13 or 14 years old. They are very, very young. Some of them are still in an identity crisis, haven't really made up their mindset what they would like to do or who they would like to become. And alhamdulillah, through nurturing them by the words of Allah and the Quran and Hadith, very soon they find themselves, they respond to their inner calling, and we find that they take and they become so receptive to the teachings of Deen. And 3 or 4 years later, when they exit the madrasa doors, when we compare the person they walked in as and the lady that they are exiting now as, alhamdulillah, the difference is remarkable. And not only in terms of the academic excelling, but even in terms of spiritual growth. You know, Madrasa Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is primarily a tarbiya madrasa. So we focus on islahun nafs and becoming closer to Allah. And when we compare and we look at the goals we have set for these girls at the end of that 3 or 4 year course, alhamdulillah, it's a really rewarding experience.
I think that one question we could ask immediately is that how can you condense tarbiya and positive tarbiya at that into something like 3 years?
It's a mammoth task. But alhamdulillah, through our tafsir lessons, our hadith lessons, and we have every second week a discussion where we interact with these girls and we address current issues, current affairs that they might find themselves in. We also address them with regard to certain issues that they find problematic. And hence we identify the problem areas or things that we find need to be addressed. So alhamdulillah, that's how we do it and how we go along. Mm.
Okay, we're moving on to Umm Salman. You have a youth forum that you run that's called Fi Khutuwat al-Sahabiyat, in the footsteps of the Sahabiyat. And I think for short you call yourselves Khutuwat. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Umm Salman?
First of all, it's not my youth forum. It's I know our Mufti Ismail's daughter. When she moved into the area, she saw that we weren't doing anything for the community. So we started this group where she called all the alimas together, and we started this group. And alhamdulillah, well, we had lots of projects, but the youth forum took on in every month. We have one day for the youth, and we have programs where we uplift the girls and make them realize how beautiful our deen is. And with regards to, like, we show them the importance of the elderly. We have our lunches once a year for the elderly. On the 29th of August, we'll be having another program. It's a Mothers and Daughters Day, the challenges facing the youth and the challenges bringing up the youth today. It's for mothers and daughters. And alhamdulillah, in that way, the girls also manage to open up, you know what I'm saying? Because some of them are not so, when it comes to, we notice as they go to high school, the bigger girls, they're not so confident and they're introverted. So when they come out to these kind of forums, then they open up more, they socialize more in the correct way.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're on our panel discussion, listening to our panel discussion titled Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary. Joining me in the first hour, Apa Asya, Umm Salman, and Apa Sara Kaur from Cape Town. And we're talking about the young women they interact with on a daily basis and the positives that they witness in their lives. Umm Salman, tell us a little bit about the positives that these forums lead to, aside from socialization.
First of all, I teach from grades 5 to matric, right? I see, I'm not talking about the girls from the forum right now. I'm talking about the girls from my maktab. Mm-hmm. Okay? Nowadays, the kids, their strengths, I would say the strengths are their honesty and their confidence with regards to, kids are not afraid to tell you anymore what they did or what they did wrong, or if you ask them a question, they're open and honest. So what we need to do is use that confidence to enhance society. We need to make them use that confidence and make them not be embarrassed to be Muslims. You understand? We need to make them know that as Muslims, we do have liberty and freedom. And our freedom should not be influenced by the West. Like, we shouldn't follow a fashion trend, because we as Muslims, we have our own, we can make our own fashion. You know, our own, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we shouldn't be influenced. We have that liberty and freedom, and we also need to instill the love for deen and the knowledge of deen into them.
Alhamdulillah. Going all the way across the seas to Cape Town, Apa Sara, welcome to our panel discussion this morning. Apa Sara, tell us a little bit about the environment that you're teaching in and the strength and the positives that you see coming out from the young woman there.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, Jazakallah for inviting me. And my teaching experience, alhamdulillah, is quite going on for quite a few years. But currently my age group is a much younger age group compared to Umm Salman and Apa Asya. And first of all, when we teach with our small ones, subhanAllah, we are nurturing their fitrah, because they are so easy and so accepting of everything that we teach them. You know, they are sponges, and like we as alimas, and if we are in that teaching that age group of the younger children, we should nurture this quality of their natural fitrah, just to accept whatever you are saying. So when they come to a older age, when they get bigger, and we start when they become adolescent and they start questioning, then it's easier for them to accept that when we nurture them when they are younger. So alhamdulillah, when we teach the younger ones, our jobs are kind of easier than when we are teaching those who are much older. So alhamdulillah, in Cape Town, our challenges are very sometimes different and very, very, very sometimes bad also, because we have girls who come from backgrounds that are either broken, or we have girls who are coming from a father's home. So we have to, it's a tough task, because these girls are asking for love, and when we don't nurture them or give them that they can find themselves, when they want to find it somewhere else. So it's extremely challenging. But alhamdulillah, with the afternoon madrasa, the maktab that we run, the girls come in, alhamdulillah, and they recite, and we speak to them, and they open up, alhamdulillah, and we are able to, give over what we can and continuously make dua for them, that Allah Ta'ala will keep them, on the deen, and keep them positive, and let them look past the circumstances and define themselves in the future.
Amen. So if I understand correctly from our panelists, the first question that was posed about the positives, they tended to be, the answer was that they have a sense of self-confidence while they are young, that declines or wavers as they move towards their teens. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
So the negative then that would emerge as our young women are growing up is that when you're young, you have energy. When you're young, everything is clear. And then when we reach our teen years and then beyond that towards young adulthood and becoming young women, we're suffering a crisis of confidence. Okay, so Aba Asya, can you elaborate on this concept, this crisis of confidence? How does this become a negative for us?
But teenagers, young girls, are very easily influenced of what other people think about them, of how they are viewed in society. And this vulnerability causes them sometimes to lose themselves, to be less confident in going and getting the things that they really want to do. Sometimes it's they are influenced by the environment that they are in. So because they are doing certain things which is going against the grain that the rest of society is doing, it makes them a bit unconfident, it makes them uneasy. And sometimes also, the opinions of their peers with regards to them, especially in their teenage years, that's very, very important to them. But alhamdulillah, once they make up their minds, and once they change their mindset, and they realize that pleasing Allah is their only objective, and that their self-development is really what matters, alhamdulillah, then they somewhat find that confidence. And, I always remind them that right is right, even if nobody is doing it. And wrong is wrong, even if everybody is doing it. So at the end of the day, you need to look into your heart, and you really need to introspect and find out what you want to do and who you would like to become.
Umm Salman, one could argue and say that, you receive that advice from your teacher, that right is right, even if everybody else is not doing it. But how does it affect girls in real life? If you're in an environment where nobody is actually doing it, for example, if you're in a home where your mom is not actually wanting to follow the right way, then how do young women deal with that?
Nowadays, with the peer pressure and the mothers themselves, I feel it starts with the mother. A mother herself needs to educate herself with regards to Islam. We as mothers are not only just mothers, but we, how they say, the children, the first madrasa of a child is starts in the lap of a mother. Mm-hmm. So we as parents should first take that first step. If we want good, what we give in is what we're going to get out. You understand? So we need to... it's really hard out there. Nowadays, many girls can't talk to their mothers, but they can come talk to us. Because, as you said, their mothers don't understand. So it's really hard, and we as, mu'allimahs or ustads or whatever, just have to keep and be their backbone and kind of advise their parents to go in that direction as well. Because if we don't, then it's like we're falling off the wagon.
Aba Sara, do you concur? How hard is it for young women to follow the right way, to develop into exemplary human beings, when perhaps the home environment is a little bit difficult?
well, it's extremely difficult. Alhamdulillah, we have been blessed. Myself, as an educated myself, I've come from a Muslim home. It was easy for me to accept and to adapt and to accept things, alhamdulillah. But unfortunately, we are dealing with girls who are coming from a totally different background. And you know, for me, the one thing is they, you know, sometimes what happens in the home is that our girls or our children themselves, they are not allowed to you know, their emotions are always being squashed. Like if they, you know, it's always like, you have to do this and just do it, or you can't do that. So the thing is, we need to tap into that emotion, the emotion of the child. Like, you know, let them be, let them, if this is how they feel, then we have to accept the feeling of the child. If it's a wrong feeling, we need to work on it. But when we squash and we break the confidence of the child, then we sit with, that's when we sit with a problem. So the thing is, we need to move and let a child accept who or she or he is, and accept the emotional, you know, the emotional state, so that they, you know, they grow up better. They know who they are, and once they know who they are, they're able to grow at a better place, better, to become a better person. So I think that's extremely important.
I often find that we put a huge burden of responsibility on the mother or on the female parts of the home, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about the tarbiyah as being a huge responsibility of the father, saving your family, wa ahlikum nara, saving your family from the fire of Jahannam. And alhamdulillah, in South Africa, we're very blessed to have women who are educated, women who can perhaps recite Quran and teach Quran and the Islamic laws, etc. In fact, most maktab teachers in South Africa are women, not men. But let's move on to something that's a little bit more pertinent, and it's the role that you see as muallimas, men play in the lives of the women that you come across, in the young girls that you come across. First, let's start with the positives, those who have positive male role models in their life. Apa Asya?
Yes, the teenagers who have the support, the moral support and the backing of their fathers, their older male siblings, they are the ones that tend to project that confidence, because there's an open line of communication. They feel that sometimes their parents or their father in specific is easily approachable. And hence, whenever anything disturbs them or they feel that they need mushwara with regards to any matter, then they feel that their parents are accessible, their father is accessible, and they are able to speak to them. And alhamdulillah, I've noticed that the lines of communication have opened up a lot. You know, as you iterated, Apa Farzana, that in the past, primarily this responsibility was placed on the mother, that when a girl becomes a teenager and she needs to make certain decisions, then all that is placed on the shoulders of her mother, and between mother and daughter, that between the two of them, they would have then needed to come to a solution and to come to grips with whatever was bothering them. But in recent times, I think, alhamdulillah, our fathers, we salute them, our brothers, they are taking a positive role in assisting and grooming the females in their homes.
For those of you who just joined in, it's our panel discussion, which the topic is Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary, working through a few of the opening arguments here, the roles that men can play in the lives of young girls and in the lives of women in this regard. Umm Salman, when we come to mothers and daughters, you've indicated to me in our correspondence that you see there's a lot of fights that take place between mothers and daughters. What, in your opinion, is, you know, one of the main reasons for this?
Lack of communication. Mothers being so busy, no time to actually sit and communicate with their kids. You know, you can't actually, when the daughter says, I need to talk to you, then the mother will say, okay, just now, because I'm busy. So I think that lack of communication, and to me, with regards to mother and father, generally fathers have softer spots for their daughters. But when it comes to the education, it's all basically placed on the heads of the mothers, you know what I'm saying? The father will obviously pay the fees and do what he can, but we can understand that they come from work, tired, and they still don't want to sit with them, because that is the reality behind it, you know? There isn't, I mean, nowadays there's no time. Many women feel that it's their job, but also a man's job, but it's both. But what I feel that both with regards to a father and a mother, it's very important to have that open communication. So how I would encourage that is every day you have like 10-15 minutes of ta'lim in your home. It's very important.
It's an easy way for family to bond, to have talim, where everyone sits together. You can read your fazaili amal hayat saba. In the same way, you have your open communication and discussions. Where a child, a daughter can actually have, you should have that time every day where you can sit and talk to your mother and father. It's very important because nowadays, I mean, you hear girls complaining, my mother doesn't have time because the mother maybe has 4, 5, 6 kids and she doesn't have time to talk to me, so they'll rather come talk to us. But it shouldn't be like that. We have to be more open with our kids. We have to take out that extra time. And I feel in the time of talim and mashwara, when it's happening in the home, there's 10, 15 minutes, or even 20 minutes, you can have that open discussion. And that way, kids will also, when they're smaller, obviously there isn't such big problems. And as they get bigger, they'll be able to open up to both the parents and talk to them. So to me, communication is very important.
Apa Sara, your thoughts on whether a mother and a father should be a friend, whether a mother and father should be a parent? You know, it's something that's highly debated these days.
I think if we take from the teachings of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, in the beginning years we are a parent, like we are more a parent than a friend, and as we reach the adolescent and the youth years, we are more a friend than a parent. You know, we have to listen, we have to take more time out for them. You know, so when they are younger, we are putting the rules down and they need to abide by these rules in the first 7 years of their lives. After that, when they reach 8 years old, from 8 and the teenage years, that's when we need to listen more. You know, we need to give them our full attention. We need to hear what they are saying. Sometimes we are hearing, but we are not listening. So subhanAllah, it's extremely important that, you know, when they reach the adolescent years, and that is the years we are talking about when they're losing their confidence, that's the time when we need to listen more. We have to be more of a friend, but also obviously be a parent. We cannot take that away. But it's something that we need to work on. And because, as Abba Zainab said, because we are not giving them that attention and we're not listening enough to them, they end up coming to the mu'allimas and the alimas, and they are more, they will open up a bit more. Whereas as parents, and as especially for girls, their fathers, you know, for the father, a girl, if a father says something, she'll be more open to accept what he says and just do it. Whereas with a mother, sometimes the mother and daughter's relationship, especially when they get bigger, it just goes a bit downwards, and that's when the father needs to step up. And he needs to help this girl get through it with that extra bit of words of, words of wisdom and words of encouragement.
We're talking, the topic today is Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary. Our panelists, Apa Asia Bukharia, Apa Sara Kaur, and Umu Salman, working through a few issues with regards parenting. And I think somehow the topic has taken a turn towards becoming a mother and becoming a parent. And a lot of people listening to the show this morning, to the panel discussion this morning, are not married. They're single women, or they're widows, or they're divorced. And they're dealing with their own issues. So when we talk about them being extraordinary, what advice can you offer in that regard? Apa Asia?
I think each woman needs to identify her strengths or things that she is good at and the way she can play a positive role in the lives of others. I think whether it's in terms of a woman who is a widow or divorced, that one aspect of her life. But if she focuses on the positivity, there's a huge difference that she could make in her community. Probably getting the satisfaction from working with others and trying to help them. Sometimes I think if women go through certain problems, then they can relate to the emotions and to the situations of others. And I think they can then provide support to other ladies who are in need of emotional backing and other women who they can make a difference in their lives.
Salman.
Okay, with regards to single parenting is...
Before we get to single parents, let's just talk about single women in general. I read something the other day and it said, a single man is a single man, but a single woman is a fitna. You know, that kind of discussion that takes place in our community, that kind of thought process that goes through in our community, where sometimes single people are not feeling the support that they should have, as if they don't fit into our societies. So in line with our discussion, discussion today. Ordinary women are extraordinary. What kind of advice do you offer in that regard?
Single woman. Single woman, there's now, I know in my area there's been a support group for single women. A neighbor of mine started it. It's a support group for single women and for single mothers as well. To help each other, they have, I think every second Saturday they get together and they talk and how to support each other, which I think is very good, because obviously when you are divorced, you have, even no matter how you put it, you have the stigma behind your name. Mm-hmm. And it will never feel good. You know what I'm saying? It will never feel good. So what we do, what this neighbor of mine did, she has this support group, and I see the difference in the woman. They don't complain so much. They don't feel alone because they have each other.
So essentially, you identifying something as listening is good enough. Something that Apasara talked about earlier, that we don't listen enough. We aren't listening enough to each other. Sometimes you just need an ear.
And that's so important, that we need to be a support. Each of us Muslim sisters need to be a support for each other. We need to be there for each other, because we don't know what the next person went through in life. Mm-hmm. So we need to be a support for each other. And I have many single friends who are divorced or widowed or whatever, and it's hard. You just, all someone needs just to sit and, like, they just need a ear for you to listen to, you know. You just need to sit and listen to them. That's all, and that's support. And wherever you can help, whether it's financially, emotionally, you need to help wherever you can help. Mm. So support is very, very important when it comes to being a single woman. And then, obviously, we'll talk about single parenting just
now. Yes, just now, inshallah. Apa Sara, your advice to those who are single, being ordinary but being extraordinary.
Oh, okay. There's a saying by Janet Fish, who says, the best thing you can do is understand yourself, know what it is that you want, and not let the cattle stand in your way. SubhanAllah, I mean, the saying you say that a single man is a single man and a single woman is a chicken, I mean, that is the cattle, because a single woman on her own, the advice I would give her, or that you are who you are, you define yourself, you find a way, you be strong, you do what you need to do, you know. And subhanAllah, that in take time, subhanAllah, the single ladies, it's the only thing now on the card is marriage. SubhanAllah, marriage is not the only thing on the card. You can do so many other things, you know. You can define yourself, you can become who you want to be, you can become a stronger woman, you can do whatever it is you want to do. And I think our ladies need to realize this: we do not need somebody else to make us who we are. We are who we are, and we need to make ourselves stronger.
MashaAllah, very well said. If you could just repeat that saying that you started off with, quote.
The best you'll ever do is to understand yourself, know what it is that you want, and not let the cattle stand in your way.
Alhamdulillah. All right, let's move on now to single parenting. And I think a lot of the times when we talk about single parenting in the Muslim community especially, there's always something negative attached to it. You know, for example, the child that's brought up by their mother alone would be a problem child, etc., etc., or their homework won't be done, or they have some underlying psychological issue, which is not necessarily true. Single parents, alhamdulillah, if you're looking at it from the history of Islam, it's there for us. You know, we talk about Imam Bukhari rahimahumullah, we talk about Imam Shafi rahimahumullah, they were raised by single mothers. We look at Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, who was raised by a single mother. And of course, the greatest man who ever walked the earth, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father passed away before he was even born. So when it comes to single parenting, it can be done, and there can be very positive ways in which it's done. It's not the ideal. But Apa Asia, positives that you've seen in this regard?
Alhamdulillah, I've been in contact with many women who are single parents, and I really salute their efforts. In the ideal home, we have the mother playing a certain role, and we have the father playing his role. And alhamdulillah, that is what makes somewhat the daunting task of parenting slightly easier. But these women who are single parents, it's a mammoth task to be playing your role and then playing the role of a father as well, you know, mashallah. But they are not wavering. They are very, very strong. I read a quote one day, and it said, a child asked his his father asked, what is a father? And the father replied, a person who takes responsibility for his family and his house, and he takes care of them. And after a few minutes of reflection over the answer, the child then responded and said, I hope I will be a man like mom one day. So, you know, this really gives us encouragement that our females are not lacking when it comes to fulfilling the rights of their children. Yes, it's difficult. And ideally, two people, a man and a woman, a mother and a father, walk in this role simultaneously definitely makes the pressure of parenting slightly lighter. But alhamdulillah, there are many, many women out there who have realized that it's in their children are their priorities. And they need to stand up and they need to bridge that gap and fill that space and that void. And I think their efforts are not going unnoticed. Those children are excelling in school, the akhlaq is exemplary, and I think it's all basically left up to how much you think you can do. You know, as the previous, my previous panelist said, that we need to speak to our children, we need to have ta'aleem with them, and we need to provide positivity. And inshallah, through that, coupled with asking for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can really make a huge difference.
Umm Salman, would you say that a lot of the time a positive single parent is one who has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their purpose on earth?
Definitely. Because I feel when you don't know your purpose, that's when the bickering and the fighting starts. And with regards to, no matter, okay, just say if it's a widow or widower, a widow, right? We as a community need to support her because she's alone, a single mother, and she's been through a loss, and so has the child been through a loss. So there's that emotional pain of me. But when it comes to someone that's divorced, I see, the positives I see is that the children are more independent, honestly speaking. The children are more independent. But as a parent, as a single mother, if you know who your Allah is and you raise your child correctly, that's where you're going to see the good come, the fruits from that seed that you basically planted. But when it comes to if you're going to bring your spouse in and fighting and bickering, that child is going to grow up with bitterness and with hatred, and you can see it. I mean, we can't shy away from that as well. We can't only talk about the positives and not look at the negatives. So what I would tell the parents is, when it comes to our children, we must always just look for the put our differences aside when it comes to the spouses, and look for as best as possible, put our differences aside and we put the well-being of the kids first.
Apa Sara, you've touched on this, you know, when you answered your previous question regarding being a single woman, but when it comes to single parenting, areas of improvement, one that we've identified through the discussion in the panel is that your own self-confidence, your own sense of self-worth, etc., leads you to being a better parent. But other areas of improvement, other tips in this regard?
Subhanallah, first of all, I have to say subhanallah to, for a lady to bring up her child all on her own. Subhanallah, may Allah Ta'ala always be with them and strengthen them, because it's not as the previous speaker said, it's a mammoth task, subhanallah. I think when it comes to single parents, like any part, from my side, I would say that, mashallah, they are doing a good job. But also, like, they shouldn't be shy to sometimes, you know, lean on somebody else, whether it is their parents or, you know, their brothers or sisters, just to, you know, to help them along, because sometimes we can be strong for only so long. And sometimes choose to, for a single parent, if the father is non-existent, to, you know, bring the grandparents in, or the uncles or the aunts in, so that he can have that might influence if it's a boy in their lives. And I really, with regard to this topic, I don't have much to say, because I haven't really, in the last years, I haven't come across it very often. But alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, for those of you who just tuned in, our panel discussion topic this morning is Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary. For the last 15 minutes of the hour, we are opening up the lines, and we're also taking SMSs on 48855. You can call in, you can talk to our panelists. Let's take a little bit of a turn, or a U-turn here, to the topic of balance and finding time for yourself. So we come to the journey of women. A lot of mu'allimas, alimas, whatever it is, they study. They have this camp chance of life, university life, they're free, they manage to do a whole lot, and then comes marriage, and then comes the children, and then comes the nappies, and all of this, and in between this journey, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely has destined, you start finding and wanting a different sense of validation, a different sense of self-worth, and you need to start emerging again to give back in other ways. So we're talking about getting back into the saddle, finding the balance, finding yourself again, the importance of having your own time. Apa Asia, if you could just lend us some thoughts on this regard.
Yes, I think in order for a woman to be productive and to go out there and make a difference, not only in her home, but in her community, I think she needs time for herself. She needs to be able to be strong in order to project that strength and that confidence. I think as women, we need to take out time every day, although that sounds impossible, to do things that we like. You know, I gave my pupils a comprehension passage last year, and the gist of it was that the average South African woman only has 6 minutes to herself every day. Subhanallah. Yeah, in between being a mother, a wife, a sibling, and playing various roles that a woman finds herself with, she has very little time for herself every day. I think we need to unwind at night. We need to reflect. We need to do the things that make us happy, that keep us whole. In order for us to be happy and to be able to make a positive difference in the lives of somebody else, I think it's important that we take out a few minutes to do things for our own rejuvenation. Some of us might find it in reading, in some literature prior to bedtime. Some of us, alhamdulillah, find it through doing mutala of our kitabs and taking inspiration from the Sahaba, from all our pious predecessors. And I think it basically, you need to look at what keeps you ticking, what makes you keep, what keeps you going. And accordingly, I think we need to sometimes treat ourselves to indulge in that, and in order to be strong and to be able to go out the next day and make a difference.
So we're saying that something that you enjoy doesn't necessarily have to be something that you can afford. It can just be something as simple as reading. It can be something as simple as sharing.
Definitely.
Umm Salman, your thoughts in this regard?
I would think, okay, first of all, when it comes to balance, I would say that when you have routine, you have balance. Because you fit everything. To me, routine is very important. You know, you have to do everything a certain time. And then finding time for yourself will also be there, that you know, if you know you need to go 30 minutes or an hour to gym every day, or maybe just if you feel your afternoon nap is important to you, you're going to make time for that. And that that me time is very, very important, because at the end of the day, we're all insane. If we just go on like robots, we're going to get frustrated and irritated with everyone around us to such an extent that we won't even feel appreciated. So it's very, very important to take out that, whether it's going for your walk, whether it's also reading a book, or just sometimes it, you don't even have to, maybe you like baking, go in the kitchen and you want to bake a cake, and that's your time, or challenging yourself, you know what I'm saying? So it's important that it's very important to have your balance, which I say is your routine, because when you have your routine, you have everything set out, and then you can also have that me time, which is very, very important. If you don't, you're just going to snap.
Absolutely. Abbasar, I think what Umm Salman was basically saying is very important. If you have routine, you are going to have balance. And this also comes to the issue of boundaries and creating boundaries, which a lot of women don't know how to create. And hence, there seems to be a little bit of an imbalance in their lives.
Almost definitely. I think as women, we need to learn to say no. That's the most important thing, you know? Like, for example, we should prioritize ourselves, our children, our husbands. And, for example, like, we need to learn to say no sometimes. If somebody wants something great, but you know what, you need to do something in that time, we have to say no. No, I cannot do that. And by you saying no, you are actually prioritizing yourself. Because I don't have time for that, because I need to do this for myself. You know, so I think with balance and priority, you know, what is most important? You are most important, because when you see to yourself, you are able to see to everybody else better. and that's the most important thing. You know, the I know I'm quoting quite a bit today, but there's a quote that goes, the one thing that you have that nobody else has is you, your voice, your mind, your story, and your vision. So, you know, you need to see it to yourself first before you can see it to everybody else. And when you see it to yourself, you will see it to everybody else better. So I think as women, we need to learn to say no sometimes.
Aba Asya, you know, this hour has just flown by. There's so many things to discuss, and you know, before we move into the 11 o'clock news and things like that. But if, you know, at difficult times, because we all have our challenges, we all sometimes come onto the air and sound so super confident, and you sound like you have all the answers, but we don't really have all the answers. And essentially, today's panel discussion is a form of support. You know, it's reaching out, it's uplifting, it's making everybody understand that we all are there for each other. In your difficult times, when you open up your Quran, when you open up your books of hadith, what are the things that keep you going? What are the words that keep you motivated?
I think very importantly, what keeps me going is comparing our efforts and our achievements to the accolades of our Sahabiyat and our pious predecessors. Yes, definitely there are those moments where you want to give up, you have been stretched until the end, but always we need to keep focus. And, you know, constantly what keeps me going and what motivates me, I keep on playing the scenario that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the previous women and ask them, what have they done for the upliftment of his deen? And subhanAllah, when Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha will come and present her very, very first martyrdom in the court of Allah, and when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would come and have spent her entire youth and entire life in the service of deen, when different other sahabiyat, Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khamsa would come and present their sons which they have given for the martyrdom of Islam, and then we look and we measure what have we done for the upliftment of deen. And sometimes that can be very, very embarrassing, that we sometimes get so engrossed in our lives and doing the things, the day-to-day things that everybody else is so involved in, that we lose focus of our objective in life, which is ultimately to please Allah and to prepare for our abode in Akhirah. And sometimes, yes, we do lose focus, you do get frustrated, but I think when we keep the bigger picture in mind, that helps us to keep going, that one day, inshallah, although our attempts and our efforts are very, very meager, but مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, we try and emulate our sahabiyat and our previous pious predecessors, and we hope that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the courage and the sincerity to do the things they did, and ultimately be a reason of us being resurrected with them on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah.
Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We all aspire to that. Let's take a call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah, very well.
I'd like to remain anonymous, but, you know, we can only have time for ourselves if we delegate other tasks to other members of the family, otherwise we will never have time for ourselves.
Alhamdulillah, that's very important, yes. And we find it very hard to hand over because we're professionals.
Some people find it hard. Otherwise, we could be stressed out. We say we are tired, but we don't want to relegate to others.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you for that contribution. Okay. I need to go for a break. My sound engineer is beeping at me to say I need to go for a break. So we're going to come back to Umm Salman and Abba Sara just after the break and after the news, inshallah, if you could please hold the line for us. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the second of our panel discussion, Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary, hosted by me, Abdullah. My guests for the first hour, Abba Asya Bukhariya, Abba Sara Qaw, and Umm Salman. And they were supposed to leave us, but of course it overlapped a little bit in the last part where Abba Asya was giving us some advice regarding things that you can hold on to, hope, what inspires us, what can keep us inspired. Beautiful example. And before we let our guests go, Abba Umm Salman, if you could just tell us a little bit about what keeps you going. I don't know if Appa Zainab or Umm Salman is there. Appa Sara, are you there?
Hello?
Appa Sara, are you there?
Hello, it's Zainab, yeah.
Okay. Zainab, okay. Umm Salman, can you give us a little bit about, just before we wrap up and we let you go, very kindly indulging us this morning, what's something that inspires you, something that motivates you, something you lean into in difficult times?
Nowadays, I would say our only purpose in life and reason we were created was to please Allah. We know that, right? For me, the easiest way of trying to please Allah is by serving others. We say, Khidmat se khuda milta hai. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
We say, Khidmat se khuda milta hai. By serving others, we can get Allah. With a sort of ikram a Muslim in mind and the intention of, oh Allah, you be pleased with me in everything that I do. In the little I can help, however it is, the little we can do for our parents, for our spouses, our kids, anyone. In that way, because that's what we're lacking nowadays. We're all so selfish in our own lives. We should become selfless. Where we give of ourselves more to others and we only use them to please them, to gain a last pleasure.
Okay, Jazakallah khair for that. Appa Sara?
Of the Sahabiyat, of the Sahaba, Hadith and Quran continuously inspire me. And I always take something from listening to a talk or going for a talk of when the ulama come and when the ulama is giving a talk, and we always take something from there. At the moment, what inspires me the most is the story of Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. She did not let circumstances define her, but she defined herself. And I think that is extremely inspirational for each and every lady, every woman, to let not circumstances define us, but we need to define ourselves who we are.
Alhamdulillah. Appa's Asiya, Umm Salman, Sara, Jazakallahu Khair. I know that you have obligations. I thank you for taking the time out for our listeners this morning, to your spouses, to the gentlemen in your lives for being supportive of your decision. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to be lights in this dunya and in the akhirah.
Ameen. Jazakumullah. Barakallahu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, there you go, listeners. We now enter the second hour of our panel discussion, and our panelists for this hour, Umm Ayman from Newcastle and Appa Fahima Balm, and they'll be joining us with some of their insights into why young women and women today are gems to their communities and their societies. While we get them on the line, let's listen to this amazing spoken word.
You know, something must be wrong when almost every single song has sex as its basis. When rap stars get famous after making lyrics that are shameless. When a woman is expected to sleep with a man who doesn't even know what her name is. And when artists are paid to degrade the very woman that have made them. To the point they are nothing more than pieces of plastic that we can dispose of once they are no longer attractive. It's sickening and sadistic that this world's become so misogynistic. And you can call me unrealistic, but just listen to the statistics. 7 in 10 men view porn, while over 75 million are addicted. 68 million requests a day for pornographic pictures, making 1 in 4 searches sexually related. It's like nobody even knew she existed until she got naked, degraded and abused over and over again just to gain millions of views. It's a shame if subdued to a definition of beauty which is so misconstrued, as we judge each other's looks off of Facebook likes, Instagram pictures to filter off what we really look like. See, we are so obsessed with our outside, we have slowly lost sight of who we really are in real life. I mean, it's sad to see so many teens lose their self-esteem, looking at these magazines thinking they have to look like what they see. Please, you are worth much more than a 2D image on a screen. You are a living, breathing human being. If only you knew what you really mean. Just look in your history books and begin to read of all the girls in the world who are capable to achieve, and you will surely see with certainty females like Fatima al-Fihri, who opened the first ever university, Rufayda al-Islamiyya, the first nurse to perform surgery, and Aisha bint Abi Bakr, the greatest female scholar in eternity. It's a shame you probably haven't even heard of these great female prodigies. Honestly, we don't need to give up our modesty in order to be successful, for you are worth much more than a commodity that is sexual. You have so much more potential. If only you knew your worth, you could be like the greatest of all women to have walked this earth, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, chosen by Allah to be an example for the believers, a woman who stood strong even when she was abused, falsely accused and ridiculed for things she'd never ever do, so it didn't really matter when there was nobody else beside her, but she knew that God was Ar-Razzaq and her ultimate provider, and she had to trust in Him alone. Just like Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, a woman who was brave and courageous, stood up for what was right and didn't let anybody change this. A woman who was fearless and laughed in the face of death, for she gave up the riches of this life for a palace in the next. Next up, Khadija, the mother of the believers, a wealthy merchant who had nurtured the Prophet for over 25 years, his first wife, the love of his life, and the mother of his kids. She was the first to believe in him when nobody else ever did. She just is beyond any words that can make you understand. So much so that even Allah sent her His salam. She was grand, and Allah assured her, just like her daughter, Fatima, the master of all women in paradise, a woman who would shine so bright, she was nicknamed as Zahra, the splendid one with the most generous of hearts, a woman who gave up so much of her food, she had no choice but to fast. She would fight on behalf of her father, even as a little girl. And such are the examples of the greatest woman in the entire world. And it had nothing to do with how they looked, but for who they truly were. So ignore the standard of success defined by society, when God has said that the best of mankind are those who have piety, regardless of your shape, your color, or your race. For God does not look at your bodies, nor does He look at your face. Rather, He looks towards your heart and checks your faith. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the people say or who they think you are, when you can be like the greatest of all women in the eyes of Allah. The greatest woman.
Coming to you live 7 days a week. This is Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the second hour of our panel discussion, Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary. Alhamdulillah, I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I hope you're enjoying the discussion. Remember that the SMS line is 48855. You can tweet at Radio Islam. Follow the hashtag RIYWoman. Joining us today for the second hour, Ummu Ayman, who's written a book, Stepping into Adulthood, A Muslim Girl's Guide, and this is about reaching the physical and the emotional changes that young girls go through when they begin to experience hay. So we have the author of that, and we have also Abba Fahima Baum, who is also a writer. She's a teacher, and she's HOD at one of our Muslim schools in Johannesburg. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Umma Ayman, we're going to begin with you, because you're further away from all of us. Tell us about Stepping into Adulthood, A Muslim Girl's Guide.
Sorry, I can't hear you clearly.
I said, could you tell us a little bit about the book that you wrote, Stepping into Adulthood, A Muslim Girl's Guide?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I hope everyone's well, inshallah. Lovely day. I think it stems out of the need for teaching over the years with young girls
And I think a lot of the times the girls questioned, had many, many questions, and it came from that. A lot of the questioning, they didn't have answers, and more so because they were young girls and they needed to understand what it is that their bodies were going through and what they were going through emotionally. So, inshallah, we were hoping that this would fulfill that part of the educational process, inshallah.
Okay. Abba Fahima, starting with you, the question is, you know, we touched on this in our earlier hour where we talked about young women, and generally when we talk about young women, girls who reach the age of puberty, we tend to load on the negatives about them, about, you know, that they don't do this and they don't do that and they don't do this and they don't do that. What would you say are the positives that young women and young girls offer society?
Come on in and to share the panel with such esteemed guests that you've had today. Just listening to the first segment that you had, it was so, like you say, it's ordinary, but these women are extraordinary, subhanAllah. And just following their advice, as I'm sure many of us are going to benefit from it. If I look at our youth today, subhanAllah, you know, I always see a child like a clear piece of paper. There's nothing on that child until the parent or teacher speaks. And then whatever we say, this child becomes like a sponge and just draws everything in, subhanAllah. And when children walk through our school yard or they walk through our madrasas, you know, you look at them and you see they are bright-eyed and they are willing to learn. But you find that along with all of that, they bring this enthusiasm within them. And this is one of the things I love about children. In general, even adolescents, they are innocent, yet at the same time, they have this enthusiasm for life. They believe that they can conquer anything. And this is so beautiful. And like one of the previous panelists said, you have to take these things and help mold them into the people they will be one day. And amongst other things, we see that they come from such good homes, mashallah. Yes, there are certain aspects in a child or per person, you can say, that is negative. But overall, every child has so much potential. And when you speak to them one-on-one, you realize that this is a person, and this person has value. And inshallah ta'ala, given the right guidance, this person can be an asset, not just to the community at large, but to the world, inshallah ta'ala.
Umma Ayman, you and Abba Fahima come with a wealth of experience, and I don't want to veer into so much of what we discussed in the last hour, but this hour, you know, we titled our discussion today, Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary, and it wasn't so much about the panelists, but it was about us realizing that through ordinary actions, we do become extraordinary. I would like for us to explore the concept of ordinary versus extraordinary. Sometimes we get so caught up in semantics, what it means to be successful, what it means to be remarkable, that we lose essence of our place in it all. If you could elaborate for us.
Definitely, I think that in today's day and time that the terms are used very broadly, ordinary versus extraordinary. But subhanAllah, on the other hand, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Definitely the words are used very broadly. Alhamdulillah, I think that from the basis of our Imani perspective, a woman who is extraordinary would be a woman who knows Harab, a woman who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's a woman that's destined for Jannah, alhamdulillah. All aspects of her life, the yardstick of her life is to look through the eyes of Iman and to be a mu'min and to follow the examples of the great woman that has set such a noble legacy for us behind, alhamdulillah. And this, the woman that is extraordinary is the woman who knows her purpose in this dunya, that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that she knows her Rabb. Okay? And she, the worldly, on the other end, we've got worldly accomplishment isn't everything in our lives. Our lives are a dini aspiration. We're living the life that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're ordinary, in my opinion, is that we are women who don't have any dini aspiration. Allah isn't the most important being in our lives. We are not conscious of our deed. We're not conscious of our akhirah. And on the other hand, the woman who goes against this, not against this, or goes against the tide of this, is the woman who has the love for Allah. And she's constantly thinking of the life of the Sahabiyat and how she can bring this into her life. And this is what makes her an extraordinary and remarkable woman, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. And do you also think that we tend to create this dichotomy between a successful woman and so-called unsuccessful woman from a financial perspective? And who is fueling this sort of dichotomy?
SubhanAllah. I think that is a great influence around us, okay? That is definitely stems from media, our interaction. We've definitely changed our focus in life. We've moved away, which is what I started with. So if we understand our purpose in life, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then dunya is the means for the greatest life, which is the life in the akhirah, inshallah. And the success that we are looking at has been formed by the worldview that we are interacting with every day. And that worldview is the Western media. We've got our movies, you've got your celebrities, you've got your magazines. Today it's the social network. So that kind of, they are definitely pushing the line that women are successful only if they go out of their homes and they're earning financially, and that is what's making a successful woman financially. She's out of the home, living the, well, we're going to call it the Western dream of financial success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you obviously written a book on puberty, stepping into adulthood, and I'd like you to elaborate for our listeners the most important influences at puberty that carry a woman through for the rest of her life.
When we were looking over this question, alhamdulillah, I'm going to just step back a little bit and say that the most important influence would be the mother. Alhamdulillah, from the time a mother conceives, subhanAllah, that influence starts from them. A mother has such a great influence. I'm going to take the example of the blessed woman Hannah, the mother of Maryam alayhi salam. SubhanAllah, she was carrying the baby. She didn't know the gender of the child, and alhamdulillah, she made dua that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to dedicate what is in my womb or in my body to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So we're looking at the intention. The big thing here is the mother and her intention, and this will be the first influence. The da'wah from your parents, from your walid, are very important. They play a very big part in the role of a child, in the life of a child, I think, between the ages of 1 to 7. And, of course, then we've got our tarbiyah, that is how, you know, a child, we're going to teach our children, inshallah, so the future flag bearers of iman. We're going to teach them the obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the iman, to the akhirah, and inshallah, as far as possible, the mother's influence is to try to keep the child as close as possible on fitrah. Then in a later stage, on the second part, inshallah, is adolescence. Of course, we've got teachers, we've got their peers, and of course, what we're living today is we've got media and technology. Those are definitely great influences in their lives, but the most positive one, subhanAllah, is from the mother and the influence from home, inshallah, and of course our teachers, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I love that we have on our panel learned women and women who come forward with this powerhouse of ilm and knowledge and are so willing to share it. Apa Fahima, you tell us in your experiences, you know, when we talk about the most influential role models in a woman's life from the time she's young right till the time she grows older, what would you say they are?
SubhanAllah, when I think back to the youth in general, and I think when we were younger as well, you know, we always say, and the previous panelists also mentioned this, Maki Gwad Behem Jesahir, that the first lap of a child is the mother. And the mother is everything to the child. And like Ayman has also mentioned, that it stems from the mother and the intention of the mother. And you find from years 0 to 6 years old, our children are at the hands of the mummy. And her influences are so strong over this child. And once the child now socially interacts and starts going to school in madrasa, we find that they have positive influences from their teachers, from their friends. And alhamdulillah, many, many educators realize that they are role models for children. And therefore, they should have such good knowledge, not just of deen, but of how a child should be brought up, as well as the tools of trade to educate the children. And then later on in life, we find that when a child is now an adolescent, they tend to stay away from the parents for some reason, Allah alone knows why, but they tend to rely more on friends. And this also comes to having good friends, beneficial friends, friends that will, inshallah, influence goodness in you. And it's only much later in life the child turns back to the parent again and looks at the parent as a role model.
Abba Fahima, I'm going to ask you whether you think young women read enough. Because often enough, you know, you say that they distance themselves from their parents as they move towards adolescence. But clearly that's just, you know, the way Allah has created us, that when we become baligh, we try to become more mature, a little bit more independent. The dependency level is a little bit less. So we're finding and exploring our own strengths a lot more. And one way, one thing that I find is influential in shaping the journey or shaping the mind, especially as to, you know, that you are a bandi, that you are a servant of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, happens through reading material. Do you think that our young women read enough?
SubhanAllah, this question here, I think if you had to pose it to me 10 years before this, we probably would have said, yes, we see the youth read. But today we live in an instant generation. If you look at our Twitter timelines, they are all little snippets. If you look at every other thing like Pinterest, etc., the shortest reads are what's available to everybody. And even if you give advice, you're going to look for the easiest way to hand over advice to the next person without it being too tedious and too long. So yes, we do bad readers and avid readers as well, but consistently, you know. So even in giving people reading material, we should look in such a way that it will appeal to them. It will be short and sweet and concise, inshallah.
Okay. Umm Ayman, Abba Fahima, our lines are not very clear. We're taking a quick ad break and then we'll get hold of you on other lines, inshallah.
ANC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Lanesia, 011-852-4910. ANC, usually unusual fabrics.
Contact Lanesia Livestock and Poultry for all sadaqa and hakika requirements. We offer clean, hygienic, abattoir-style and refrigeration facilities. Sheep, goats and cows are available at competitive market-related prices, direct to the public. We slaughter, slice and distribute on your behalf. Kom praat met ons vir 'n goeie deal. Ons kan iets vir jou uitwerk. Lanesia Livestock and Poultry. Livestock is our business. We are SANA approved. Telephone 011-857-177.
Assalamu alaikum Yusuf bhai.
Wa alaikum salam Musa bhai.
Yusuf bhai, I was kurbani no ho karwana. Bakra lawana ke hu.
Are bhai, I'm making one kurbani at home to keep the spirit of kurbani alive. And the balance of the kurbani I'm sending to Crescent of Hope. They make kurbani to all the needy, locally or internationally.
Are Yusuf bhai, mashallah, boharu bhai, boharu. Where can I find this Crescent of Hope?
Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesia, 011-852-7370.
Triple BEE, broad-based black economic empowerment. How about best business behavior, exemplary excellence? Have you had a good or bad experience as a client or customer? Or have you observed good customer behavior while running your business? If so, share your story and here's one way to do it. Submit your experience of no longer than 200 words to ecofin@islamsa.org.za. That's ecofin@islamsa.org.za. And your story can be read out on the weekly At Tajir Hour. Only on Radio Islam International. Submission requirements. Stories should not contain real names of people or service providers. Stories should be submitted no later than the last Friday preceding the regular Tuesday at Tajir Hour. Please note that Radio Islam International reserves the right to select, edit, and air submissions.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love, but I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child, this is the purest fragrant rice that you ever find.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397 or visit www.akila.co.za. That's A-K-I-L-A. We also stock a wide range of rice, beans and sugar in our warehouse in City Deep, Johannesburg.
تاج لنا تاج لنا هذا الحجاب
هذا الحجاب الأكرم
الأكرم
تاج لنا فلنعلم
فلتعلم
تاج لنا هذا الحجاب
حجابنا بين الملا وارضي به رب العلا إن قيل عيب قلت لا بل هو خير أملا والباقيات عملا يعرفها من قد تلا
هذا الحجاب الأكرم
الأكرم
تاج لنا فلتعلم
فلتعلم
تاج لنا هذا الحجاب
حجابنا الغالي الحصين جاء به الوحي الأمين لطاهرات العالمين بنات خير المرسلين وأمهات المؤمنين هن لنا النور المبين
هذا الحجاب الأكرم
الأكرم
تاج لنا فلنعلم
فلتعلم
تاج لنا هذا الحجاب
إن لم تكوني يا ابنتي أهلا لذا فمن التي فأنت
جنة جنة
You're tuned to Radio Islam, Medium Wave, 1548.
Welcome back. We were shaking all the gremlins out of our system. We're having a panel discussion this morning. Ordinary women are extraordinary. And our guests for our second hour, Umme Ayman and Appa Fahima. Umme Ayman's got extensive experience, alhamdulillah, even homeschooling her own children, also Muallima. And her interests are diverse. Appa Fahima has also been writing a lot. So we have a wealth of information that's being shared today. And before we went for a break, Appa Fahima was sharing things about reading and whether we read enough and what can be influential reading for us as we're growing in the different stages of our lives. Welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Appa Fahima.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So sorry you were rudely interrupted, but let us know. So you said you felt that a few years ago people read a lot more?
I'm just sorry, I think the line is a bit weird. Is it possible for the studio to recall me?
Sure, we'll do that. Let's just move on to Umme Ayman. Umme Ayman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Umme Ayman, can you unpack that question for us, you know, with regards reading material and whether we're reading enough?
Okay, over the years, I'd agree with Appa Fahima. That the reading has definitely changed. The kids are definitely reading less. And I think, again, we're going to come back to the fact that there are a lot more distractions. So they've moved away from, I think, the great source of knowledge, which is books. Mm-hmm. You can't replace the feel of a book, the smell of a book, the turning the pages of a book, the great travels and imaginations and things that you learn, models that you learn from a book itself. Okay? So there's been, alhamdulillah, great books that have been written for our kids. I think over the years, I've realized that from home, you teach kids that readers are leaders, and what happens is you always have books around you in your home. Mommy sits with their kids, reading stories, communicating the models that you've learned from the stories, and I have a constant supply at home. Go to a library and try and foster the love for knowledge through books, inshallah.
Now, you chose the means of a book. You wrote a book, Stepping into Adulthood, A Muslim Girl's Guide. Now, who was the book for? Was it for the mother or was it for the girl, the daughter?
No, it was definitely for the daughter. Definitely okay. For the daughter. Did you find it differently? I don't know if you
No, I'm just asking because, you know, so many times when you buy books, especially for, you know, it's more for the mother and the mother's encouraging the daughter to read, but the daughter's not really reading. So you think, okay, well, who are we actually writing for? Who is our actual audience here?
No, I think we took that into consideration at first. The target audience is obviously most important, and it was definitely for the girls. I think that the use of color, the use of activities, the use of graphics, and of course the knowledge was wide-based. It covered as many areas, inshallah, as we could for the young girls. And inshallah, we're hoping, we're praying, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible that the girls actually will actually read them, inshallah.
We've noticed, of course, this resurgence of reading in the form of blogs, you know, because everybody wants bite-sized things that are very quick, and I've seen lots of blogs. We've all been looking at lots of blogs that are doing their rounds these years, and I often wonder, you know, is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? We often say readers are leaders, and people can develop an argument insofar as, you know, the reading that they're doing. But your thoughts on this, insofar as developing the mind of young women or elder women, good, bad, positives, negatives in this regard?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
I said, would you say that this is something that is positive or something that is negative?
No, definitely. I think all knowledge, inshallah, that is beneficial is definitely positive. I think that it's just the format that we've chosen now is in two forms. I think one is that it's shorter, and the second part is that it's through an electronic means, as opposed to actually, you know, having a book in your hand and sitting down in your, you can sit in your bed, you can, you know, you can enjoy it differently. So definitely, I'm not going to say that the blogs are not beneficial, but I'd say that we don't do the same type of reading. But look, I'm going to take it back to one thing. We learned a concept very young, and I taught this to my kids as well. It's called super reading and dipping. I don't know if you know the concept.
No, explain.
Okay, it's a very simple concept. You try and read a fastish, you know, and you read the chapters that are applicable to you that you would enjoy reading. Okay? So sometimes I think kids are challenged with the fact that, this book is so long. You know, I can't get to the end. So we try and encourage them, let's read bits of it that are interesting, maybe look at the pics and, you know, chat around it, inshallah. So it's a very simple concept, but it also, you know, assists in reading.
Mm-hmm. Abba Fahima, are you back with us?
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Abba Fahima, before we left you, you were talking about books, and could you share with us some titles of things that was helpful reading for a Muslimah, whether she was going through puberty, whether she was going through marriage, pregnancy, divorce, titles that you felt have been helpful to develop a strong Muslim mindset?
When I look at all the books that I've read and have influenced me positively on a personal note, I have to admit that there are certain books that I keep on my bedside simply because they have short stories. I'm still getting that broken line.
Okay, we're just going to try as best as we can with this line. We can hear you very clearly.
Maaf, I can't actually.
Okay, all right. Well, our engineer will try and get you back, inshallah. All right, Abba Ayman, let's move
I'm
on.
I'm feeling very alone here now.
Feel like you've eaten a big part of the cake.
Okay, now you're putting me on the spot.
Now I'm putting you on the spot. Okay, well, we discussed this offline. We were going to talk about single woman, single parenting, a thread that we touched on in the first hour, but never got enough time to explore. Positives that you find in this regard. You know, before it used to be a big stigma to be a single person or be a single parent. And of course, I'm not talking about situations where it can be helped. I'm talking about situations where it can't be helped. But the positives that you are seeing in this regard with Muslimas and as their self-esteem grows, how it's influencing their children positively?
Mashallah, you know, over the past few years, like you said, it's been really challenging for the ladies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them tawfiq, inshallah, to be able to deal with it. But I found that there's Women have such an amazing reserve of resilience and strength. They've been able to deal with almost every and most situations that they're in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think, has created, you know, women with such strength that we can put them in the most abject conditions. And it's almost like we have survival instincts, okay? And we give birth, and, we somehow, when we have offspring, I think the survival instincts, they're kicking in faster, alhamdulillah. Okay, and we use all the resources that are around us. I look at the women that I've been coaching, mashallah. They have to survive, sister.
Yes.
And a lot of them come out of situations where they're either not financially able to stand on their own. But subhanallah, you know, the ayat is so clear. Whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them ease. So women, what I try to teach them is look at what you're really good at, what you're passionate about, and then we try and build on that, alhamdulillah, you know. So we look at the strengths, and of course the most important thing is to have a very strong connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we got twofold. One is that the connection to Allah gives you great strength, mashallah. And the second one is that women have really got strong reserves of resilience, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Would you recommend anything for women who are going through a journey of being single, or for example, being single parents, whether it's through widowhood, divorce, etc.? Is there anything that you would use as recommended reading?
I think I think in that case, subhanAllah, there's a lot of blogs. Alhamdulillah. I've seen many, I don't know them off the top of my head.
That's
but
fine.
We can
That's
always
fine.
Forward it, inshallah, onto the website.
Yes.
But there've been many, blogs that have, a support system for women that are either divorced or widowed, alhamdulillah. So in that case, I'm not sure if the listenership is, you know, have a a good connection with the internet or social media, but that is definitely a place that the women are connecting with each other. I know some of my sisters have said to me that there are WhatsApp groups as well, where they have a support structure for each other that you can connect to.
You know, with regards to reading, we have a tweet that's come on the handle. Many women read useless stuff which leaves an impression on them. They then seem to have unrealistic expectations of life. Your comment on that?
Subhanallah. Look, I'm going to take it twofold again, sister, Fazana. It's very difficult in that. You know, I'm going to look at it. If it's a woman that's going through a difficult situation, sometimes, you know, you read things that are distracting. I'm not going to say it's correct, okay? But there is definitely a lot of unnecessary information that we're putting into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to have a strong mind, a strong deeny perspective, spiritual side, a strong emotional side, We definitely need to be reading information that's of benefit. We need to be doing that. In order for us, in fact, I wanted to just give you a few pointers. Is that okay?
Go ahead, by all means.
Okay. Jazakallah. I had a saying that I thought was very important. I hope it will link to the reading. But it says that the hours that ordinary people waste, extraordinary people leverage. Okay? So what we want is we want to have a respect for our time. We want to be able to use our time beneficially. We want to do things that are important in our lives. We want to be committed to the things that are good and important. And you see, I'm going to link this to readings, and I'm going to say that when you're reading things that are not beneficial, that are not uplifting, then, we follow a negative mindset. Like you said, you know, we feel like, oh, our lives are not good enough. We're ungrateful for what we have. We look, other people have such better lives. Look at the celebs, they're living such wonderful lives. You know, so it can do that. Okay? Mm-hmm. So basically what we want is we want to be able to be stronger, more confident. And what happens is when you read good information, it makes you, it energizes you. You know, it gives you that that need to do better, to do well, to benefit the people around you, inshallah.
Inshallah al-Aziz. We still seem to be unable to reach Upper Fahima, so we're going to continue just with you, Umme Ayman. Along the topic of the role that men can play in the lives of Tarbiyah. And, you know, a lot of times some answers would be, you know, you need to take time to teach them sabak or you need to talk to them. But we want to just push that a little bit further. It doesn't have to be the father. It can be the granddad. It can be the uncle. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, a male role model in the life of a growing woman, and not even a growing woman, an adult woman. How helpful it is.
Okay, so if I understand the question correctly, you're asking me the role of men in general in the life of a woman.
Absolutely, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, so we're not talking single or anything else.
No.
All right. Look, I asked around me, the men in our family.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. I was actually quite amazed that they said one of the first things is to be sympathetic and to understand. MashaAllah. I felt that was such an important thing for women. Because women, you know, we love to I think feel good. We love to feel nice. We love to know that we have the support of the men folk around us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So from the support base, I'd say that we divided into four areas. We looked at obviously the physical side, where men are involved, like you said, where they are, you know, playing with the children, giving sabak with them, inshallah, maybe even reading them stories, teaching your son how to fish, take them out to places where we don't have to spend money, sister, because I know it could be just the natural way of doing physical activities with a child. Okay? Then we looked at the emotional side. I think of fathers, brothers, grandfathers, do play a role, alhamdulillah, in that they can chat with the child. If you see that a child is not looking a bit off today, let me find out what's wrong with my son or my grandson. Let's talk about it. Is there something that, you know, I can help you with, I can assist you with, inshallah? Okay? Simplified. Then we looked at the thing on the financial side. Of course, you know, that makes a very big difference in that, you know, a woman knows that the men folk are there, supportive financially, so they can play their role then in the home as being the first, you know, lap of education, of, you know, tarbiyah for a child. So then we can take care of that because, you know, the financial side can be very stressful. So alhamdulillah, we know that when our men folk are, alhamdulillah, they're bringing home and they're supporting us, alhamdulillah, it makes it easier. And the last piece, which is the fourth one, was spiritual advice. Inshallah, we looked at things like the men folk are taking their sons, our sons to the masjid. They're talking to our daughters about, you know, all the challenges in life, teaching them specific things. Of course, first is teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their relationship to Allah and their duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course then, on a daily basis, we give nasiha on what is will make their lives easier, what will bring Allah's pleasure and rahmah on us, on the children, inshallah. So those are the four areas that, of course, our men folk do play a part, and inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give them tawfiq. They are doing a good job, alhamdulillah, and Allah reward them.
Amen. So let's just reiterate. The first was to be sympathetic, to understand, to listen. Was that the first one? The second was physical assistance, whether it would be with regards, you know, doing an activity with them or helping around, you know, around the environment. The third was financially, and the fourth was with regards to the spiritual element that they could lend a hand in. And this just happens when they take the men, the boys to the mosque, etc., etc. Now, you know, this is something that I wanted this conversation to turn towards. And it was very often, you know, and in today's program, titles, Ordinary Women Are Extraordinary. We forget, we talk a lot about our daughters, but we forget about our sons. And
Definitely.
We forget that we are raising the generation that who are going to be the men of tomorrow. So
Absolutely.
All of this emphasis on the woman and very, very, very little emphasis on the little boys that we are raising.
Yes. Can I elaborate on that?
Please do.
Okay. One of the first things I was looking at, I think some of the things, the questions you sent me, was the strength of youth. And of course, one of the strengths of youth is that they are our future ambassadors of Iman. They are our flag bearers, alhamdulillah. And the men folk, of course, are the, you know, we can't do without the men folk either. So we're a team. Alhamdulillah. Okay? And they have the potential, boys and the girls alike, to be da'is, to be huffaz, to be alims, to being fuqaha, to being the businessmen, to being the charity, the people who are volunteers, who are giving their money out in charity, alhamdulillah. Okay? So it's very necessary for us to see that the boys, we've got this quite often from the mothers, they would say things like, Appa, we're always doing things for the girls. What about the boys? Appa, how can we keep the boys occupied? How we can make them grow? Can we do motivational classes for the boys as well? Can we teach them how to the skills and how to deal with the challenges in life as well? Because I think we have this misconception, or not, I'm not sure, that boys are strong and they can handle everything. Sorry, Ruby?
Yes, I'm here, I'm listening.
Okay. So I'm hoping, inshallah, that we can maybe improve that a little bit, strengthen that a little bit, improve the quality of our interaction with our sons, inshallah. I have two sons.
Yes.
And sometimes it is challenging for a mother in dealing with her son. Because boys are a little bit different, Sister Fazana. I'm not sure if you have sons.
I have a son, yes.
And mine are older. They're all like 20 and 17. So it's they're grown men.
Mm.
And as they're growing up, we need you know, more input in all aspects of their lives. So their fathers definitely will play an important part in their lives. And the men somehow can relate to them differently. Alhamdulillah.
Absolutely. Umar Ayman, you know, the hour has flown by. We haven't actually wrapped up what we set out to do for the hour, unfortunately. And we have to take our ad breaks and our news and all of those sorts of things. But I really would like to thank you for the wealth of knowledge and ilm and love that you've shared with our listeners on air this morning. We really, really appreciate it and hope to have you back on Radio Islam, inshallah.
Inshallah. I ask Maaf, I'm sorry for Appa Fahima. On her behalf, I didn't feel bad that I had to do all the talking.
No, it's fine. This is part of the, you know, what we have to deal with. It's okay. It's fine. You know, these things happen all the time.
Jazakallah for having us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our children with goodness, with strong iman, inshallah, with positive influences in their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our women folk tawfiq to be able to deal with all the challenges that we will be faced with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our daughters and our sons in sirat al-mustaqim. Jazakallah so much, Asa.
Ameen. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Well, we've come to an end of our panel discussion. The 2 hours have just flown by. I send special apologies to Abba Fahima Bam because she had so much to share with us, but unfortunately the lines were not in our favor. And to all our panelists this morning, Abba Asiya Bukhari, Abba Sara Kaur, Ummu Salman, Ummu Ayman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. I hope you've enjoyed our panel discussion. From me, Abdullah, the technical team, Brother Usama, Hafiz Hanzala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.